which one of the younger batch, Anthony Edwards, SGA, can Tatum finally get one, him and Jaylen Brown? I'm looking to see which of the younger guys are going to get to that ring first. Top of the Top, episode 247, Stash House Podcast, your boy Tyler checking in. First time listeners, thank y'all for tuning in. If you tune in, weekly salute. And there's just an episode, saw some topics you may want to hear about, thank you as well. Podcast available on all podcast streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Subscribe to your preferred platform. If you're watching this on YouTube, like this video, subscribe to the YouTube page as well. Hope everyone had a great week, great weekend. Do the same this upcoming week. Coming off of last week, no episode. It was my mom's first birthday since she passed in January, April 23rd. So I decided to take the podcast off, obviously, going through those emotions throughout the week. I was able to enjoy it, though, in terms of the weekend. I shot to the A real quick. Saw Benny, Boldy James in concert, two of my favorite rappers for the past 5 years or so. So that was dope. What else I did? went to the Atlanta United soccer game. That was my first Atlanta United soccer game. Different atmosphere than basketball and American football, but the atmosphere is top notch. Top notch. You don't have to know a lick about soccer. And yes, I talk sports on here, but I'm not the most soccer enthused guy. But I just went to just check it out. I've been hearing like it's a good environment. The vibe is nice. So I decided to go at Mercedes-Benz. Definitely worth the price of admission. I was right by, like, in the corner goal, and they got their whole culture on that side of the field. Just overall, going to a soccer game, realizing, like, oh, whenever the team gets possession, everybody's standing up because any given moment, a goal can happen. And if you know about Mercedes-Benz, you know they're one of the most affordable stadiums in the country. So people are going around just literally just to eat as well. So, overall, Atlanta United, if you're thinking about going to a game, I'll definitely tell y'all to go check it out. You won't be disappointed at all. And also, shout out to the Blue Flame. Popped up at the Blue Flame. They showed love as well. So, overall, I was able to go through the motions of my mom's first birthday. But at the same time, I was able to, like, okay, this is what she would want me to do. She wouldn't want me to be locked in the house, not recording the podcast, just grieving. She's like, no, son, you got to enjoy yourself at the same time. So I was able to do that. Took myself out to eat. Did everything. Self-care. Got some new cologne. Did all that good stuff I was supposed to do. This week, starting off with the NBA playoffs, jumping right on into it. Like I said last episode, I hate I couldn't do an NBA playoffs preview episode, but it is what it is. Next round, I'll be sure to get my predictions because I hate to start after game one where I had this team winning without me saying it before. So next round, I'll be sure to be on top of my predictions. And the overall story of this series, Lakers down 3-1, is can they control the lead after halftime? Crazy stat. They've been showing it. They've been plastering it all over ESPN, ABC, TNT, whatever you want to call it. The time leading in the series. So the Lakers have led in this series a total of about 136 minutes. The Nuggets have led 42 minutes. And it's been tied about 14 minutes. And yet the Lakers are down 3-1, even though they've been in the lead longer than the Nuggets in this series. Coming out of halftime, Lakers 20-point lead. Denver just erased it within minutes. Jamal Murray game winning shot game two. D'Angelo Russell game three. That was really pretty much that was the okay. It doesn't matter if the Lakers win one. This series is definitely over with. D'Angelo Russell scored no points, 0 points in game three. Team huddling up. You see D'Angelo Russell isolated from the team. Body language. Writing on the wall. They got one. Y'all know my rule. You got to give me at least one. But going back to Denver for game five, man, Lakers definitely facing the uphill battle. Anthony Davis been doing what he's supposed to do. But at the same time, you're giving us great numbers. But sometimes it's just not enough. Austin Reeves trying to get going, Hachimura trying to get going. Like I said, D'Angelo Russell not being consistent enough. Prince coming off the bench. He's been the best person off the bench. Spencer Dinwiddie, he's been MIA. A few of those guys off the bench been MIA. LeBron doing what he's supposed to. What do you expect LeBron to do in season 21? And y'all know how I feel about LeBron. But he can't be the guy. Yes, we got Anthony Davis, but Russell, you got to be consistent. Hachimura, Reeves, new contract boys, y'all got to get it going. LeBron's going to do what LeBron does. But, man, Jokic, Denver, they're just a different squad. The most experienced, I believe, starting five in the league right now, Denver Nuggets. Jokic. Should, maybe. I'm not keeping up with the MVP, what's going on. But he's in the run for yet another MVP award. Next matchup in the West, we got the Clippers and the Mavericks. Dallas Mavericks are up right now 2-1. And just crazy to see Kyrie and Luka going up against Kawhi, Paul George, Westbrook, Harden. Just seeing that dynamic come head-to-head is dope to see. Kyrie been going crazy. Luka been doing what Luka does. But I just think the Dallas Mavericks are showing now they can – they're showing that they can punch the Clippers in the face, basically. P.J. Washington, Russell Westbrook getting into it. The Mavs are showing, like, okay, we here now. We got to make a run led by Luka and Kyrie. Younger guys, just put in some work, play some defense, and we'll be all right. Kawhi and Paul George, like I said, just never really seem to come together like it's supposed to. And this is the series right here. If it don't come together against Dallas – with the Clippers going to a new arena next year too, I believe. Oh, it's going to be a very, very interesting offseason. Like they said, James Harden. It's not the series where James Harden got to be your top one or two performers. He just got to put in. He can just put in a good 15, 8 assists, about 6 rebounds. Kawhi, Paul George, what can they do? Kawhi was out for the beginning of the series. He came back. We know how Kawhi could be with injuries. Very intrigued to see how this series play out. Can the Dallas Mavericks get over the hump, take out the Clippers, and can the Clippers show all this talk within the past few years, can it finally mean something? It hasn't meant anything since, what, 2020? Intrigued to see how that goes. Next matchup, Suns versus Timberwolves. Timberwolves up 3-0 right now. This is definitely look like it can be a sweep, and I just hate to see KD in that position, man. Anthony Edwards is working Kevin Durant right now. There's been a lot of talk in the whole playoffs about the new generation coming in. You got Steph Curry already eliminated. Golden State, we'll see how their future look. The Lakers with Denver. You have right now the Suns with Minnesota. It's just a different – the past 5 years in the NBA, we've had five different champions. And I say that because we know how it was before that. Golden State, Cleveland, Miami, San Antonio. So we already in a different era right now. It's just now seeing the people we grew up on, the people who've been holding the torch for all these years, being eliminated or looking damn near getting swept in the playoffs. Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns. Hey, they're doing what they're supposed to do. And I'm looking forward to seeing within the next 3 to 5 years Anthony Edwards' trajectory in terms of the face of the NBA. Because let's be real, out of all the players that's in that mix, in that conversation, a lot of these guys are overseas players. You got Anthony Edwards and maybe Jason Tatum, the two from the younger class. Even Jason Tatum, he's been around for a minute. But those are like the only two like Americans I can think of in the mix, because SGA, like with Canadian, Embiid, Jokic, Luka. You had John Morant, but so Anthony Edwards, just the on the court and off the court, I'm looking to see, okay, are they going to position him while in Minnesota? Are they going to position him as the next face of the NBA? Clearly, he has it. He has it. When they talk about players having it, Anthony Edwards has it. He's trash talking. Yo, Kevin Durant, my favorite player. This is a dream come true. He seems to be the guy to push. But at the end of the day, you got to bring home championships. Braun was the face for that long, but it didn't intensify until he got those rings with Miami, and especially after he got the ring with Cleveland. You got to get the ring, and that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. You got Jokic, who's been in the league for about 8 years now. He's looking to back-to-back. Like I said, past 5 years in the NBA, we've had five different champions compared to what it was before. But within those five champions, we had, what, Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, Steph, and Jokic. Which one of the younger batch, Anthony Edwards, SGA, can Tatum finally get one, him and Jaylen Brown? I'm looking to see which of the younger guys are going to get to that ring first. That's what I'm looking forward to see. Not saying it's going to happen this year, but just, like I said, next 3 to 5 years. Because this is the first year we really highlighted. They tried not to highlight it. They tried to say, well, still Golden State, the Lakers. No, let's pay attention to SGA, OKC, what they doing. Anthony Edwards, Minnesota, what they doing. Like, you got to, that torch going to get passed eventually. It best to look at it now rather than 3 years down the line. I'm looking forward to see how it plays out, especially now the playoffs, lack of playoff experience. So, yeah, Anthony Edwards, he definitely on my list of players to look forward to and look to see his trajectory in the next 3 to 5 years. Speaking of SGA, next matchup, Pelicans, Thunder. Thunder up right now, 3-0, looking to sweep the Pelicans. SGA, MVP candidate. Check this out, OKC. Shout out to OKC, check this out. 2 years ago, they won about 20 games. Last season, they won 40 games. This season, they're the number one seed in the West. OKC was an afterthought after the Kevin Durant, Westbrook, Harden, because I never really looked at Westbrook and Paul George, that era. I said the same thing with the Clippers with Paul George and Kawhi. It's some players I understand when they come together, two big names, but just sometimes you see it and be like, I get it, but I don't see it working. So I'm not going to say there was an afterthought after Kevin Durant and all that broke up, but they wasn't in the mix now. Like, they wasn't in the mix then like they are now, in my opinion. Obviously, they're the number one seed. Pelicans, future with Zion up in the air. I don't know, man. Zion, I don't know. You got to play the cards you dealt, man. If you don't want to be in New Orleans, you want to get drafted, hey, man, so be it. But you got to make sure your stock still rises while you're there. I get it, he's Zion Williamson, but in terms of a player who can make a splash on a team, I got to see it. Injury history play a part in that. I get it. When you on the court, you're great. But we got to take into consideration how many times you weren't on the court at the same time. So, OKC looking to sweep the Pelicans. Going to the Eastern Conference, Celtics versus Heat. Here we are once again. Another Boston versus Miami series. Boston up right now 2-1. Miami going at it with no Jimmy Butler, MCL injury. We'll see how it goes, but that team, obviously, next man up mentality. We know how Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley, we know that Heat culture. Next man up. Next man up. And I saw a post saying Eric Spoelstra never won Coach of the Year. And I saw a comment that kind of makes sense. It's like, well, one, it's a regular season award, and Eric Spoelstra hit that switch when it's playoff time. It doesn't matter if the Miami Heat are a lock-in for the first one through five seed, or they in the play-in situation. If they get in the playoffs, you know a switch about to be hit, and you got to respond to it. Boston, once again, here we are another year. Is this the year for Tatum and Jaylen Brown to raise the trophy at the end of the season? You got all the pieces. You let go of Marcus Smart in the postseason. I thought that was going to be a hit, and I didn't think the Porzingis move was going to work out the way it has. So I was totally wrong on Boston. But, I mean, the coach been there for a couple of years now. He had to get used to the situation coming off the drama you had before. Is this the year? And the thing with Boston now that been the story, yes, they still live and die by the three, but the difference is now when they missing threes, they don't get discouraged like they used to. It used to be they ain't hitting threes. They don't know how to facilitate the ball, get in the paint. Now they're like, okay, we're not hitting threes. Let's go in the paint. Let's work from the inside out. Defense always. You got Jrue Holiday too. Defense, great defense turned to great offense. So I'm looking forward to see what Boston does, but at the same time, you cannot sleep on the Miami Heat, even without Jimmy Butler. You cannot sleep on those guys. Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. They got some guys. They added some pieces. So let's see how it turns out for Boston and Miami. Next up, like I said, the game that's about to tip off any minute, 76ers versus the Knicks. The Knicks are up 2-1. The most physical matchup, I think, at the moment, just with the atmosphere and how the players are playing. Embiid dropped 50 points. He dropped 50 points in game three. He probably should have been ejected before he even got close to 50. When he tried to pull down Mitchell Robinson, I think that was a flagrant two. He should have been thrown out. Especially with Mitchell Robinson's health career, you know, health history. Just anybody, you on the ground laying down the person trying to get a rebound, and when they jump up, you putting them down by one leg to the ground. Anybody could have got hurt in that situation. So I think Embiid should have got ejected for that. But he didn't get ejected, and he put up 50 points. 21 free throws. New York Knicks team had 19 overall. Embiid had more free throw attempts than the entire New York Knicks team in game three. And I saw Stephen A. say, I think it was game one or two, he said he was there. And he said, man, Embiid can barely walk up and down the court. So I figured they would try to slow the pace down a little bit, get him to the free throw line, get some easy points. But Stephen A. said, man, if you there and you can see Embiid, his face when he's jogging and just even walking, he's definitely not, probably not even 50%. But yeah, he scored 50 points. So you can only imagine how he'll be if he was 100% healthy. New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson got to get going. Game one, Jalen Brunson, 8 for 26. Game two, 8 for 29. Game three, 13 for 27. For somebody who many would think or he should at least be in the race for the MVP award, he's definitely not showing it this first round. And for the Knicks to do anything, getting out this series, he has to step up. He has to step up. The Knicks got a squad, but it's led by Jalen Brunson. No Julius Randle, he's hurt. Brunson has to lead this charge now. I'm looking forward to see what he does today, because obviously it's a game where he has to get going for the New York Knicks to go ahead and deal without Philadelphia. Philadelphia, I didn't know this. They have yet to make it out the second round of the playoffs in Embiid's time there. I did not know that. That caught me off guard. I was like, dang, they never made it out the second round. They never made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, Philadelphia, Embiid, Maxey is ready. Most improved player of the year. Tobias Harris. We'll see what happens. But definitely the most physical matchup, I think, at the moment in the playoffs. The 76ers versus the Knicks. Next up, we got the Bucks and Pacers. The Pacers are leading this series right now 2-1. The Bucks are going at it without Giannis. And at the moment, I think he's questionable at the time. Dame Lillard as well. So if that's the case, Chris Middleton got to step up. Porter's got to step up. That whole squad got to step up if you don't have Giannis and Dame Lillard. And not to make things any better, you got Doc Rivers as your coach. I did not agree with them firing their first head coach early in the season. And I get it. You know, you want to be prepared. You know, it's kind of all or nothing at the time when it was Giannis and Dame both in the lineup. But you replace him with Doc Rivers, you know, a coach who in the playoffs has showed outside of that one Boston championship that I don't think that's the guy to go to. And now you're down Giannis and Dame. Yeah, the Bucks got a lot of work to do. Going up against a Pacers team, a young Pacers team led by Haliburton. Yeah, we'll see. They got to get a victory in Indiana. Because if Indiana tie this series up, and with Dame depending on his health, the Bucks might be packing it up pretty early. But going at it without Giannis is pretty tough, I will say that. Last series, Cavaliers versus Magic. The Magic is putting everyone on notice. The Magic, Orlando Magic, do not have a lot of nationally televised games throughout the season. Just the first time most of America really get to see them play. Going up against Cleveland. Series tied up. Can we have a Cinderella story in the East? Orlando. I like this Cleveland team now. Spider Mitchell. I like this Cleveland team, but Orlando Magic, can they make a Cinderella run in the playoffs? That's what I'm looking forward to. So overall, NBA playoffs is going. A lot of, like I said, new generation versus old generation talk. Denver Nuggets trying to repeat. Can Boston finally get over that playoff hump and raise the trophy? What are the young guys going to do? SGA with OKC Thunder. Anthony Edwards with Minnesota. A lot of storylines in the first round of playoffs. I'm looking forward to it, and I do my best to keep up with it within the upcoming weeks. Now let's take a look at the NFL playoffs that took place last week in Detroit. Man, that was a lot of people for the NFL draft. I get it, it's the NFL draft, but I didn't think that many people. And I'm guessing, if I had to make a guess, I think it'd be in Tennessee sometimes. It was in Detroit this year. I think it's in Green Bay next season. I'm guessing it has to be like a tailgate type of atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Like a whole tailgate block party vibe going on. It has to be. Because I love football like everybody else. And granted, I don't have an NFL team. But let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm an Ohio State fan. Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think I'm that invested to where I'm like, I want to go see him get drafted. Like, I go to some games or something, but that's a lot. I mean, if you're in the city and you're from there, I guess, like, well, okay, just, you know, 25 minutes away, let's pull up, check it out. But I don't know about the traveling. Because you see different teams represent. I'm like, just to get drafted. I guess that's just something that, you know, sometimes sports fans, we disagree on things. And that's just one for me. Like, I watch the draft at the crib. You know what I'm saying? But I'm guessing there's a whole vibe going on. It has to be. You know what I'm saying? So, shout out to Detroit. Eminem was on stage with Roger Goodell. You know, it is what it is. My main takeaways from the draft. First off, like I said, Ohio State fan. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, drafted to Arizona Cardinals. Cade Stover, tight end, drafted to the Houston Texans. Now, if I were to have a team, because I took my head out the Falcons when they lost the Super Bowl. I made that very known. I said, y'all lost the Super Bowl to New England that way. It's going to be a good 5 years until this team get its mindset back together. And I'm already dealing with the Lakers and the Buckeyes. So I don't got time to stress about the Falcons. So I gladly took my took my fandom out of the Falcons bandwagon. And I've been just in the wind since. Technically, the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud at quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Got Cade Stover now. Just off the strength that C.J. Stroud, the quarterback. Technically, I could be a Texans fan. Justin Fields, he's in Pittsburgh now. I just root for the Buckeyes. Chris Olave, New Orleans. Garrett Wilson, the Jets. Not even counting all the other guys over there in Washington. Chase Young, I forgot what he just – I think Chase Young just left from San Fran, if I'm not mistaken. But I got to do my research on that. Not counting the Bosa brothers. Like, just whoever I rock with, I rock with. More than a team, per se. Some more takeaways from the draft. 6 quarterbacks picked in the first round. We got Caleb Williams, drafted to Chicago, number 1 draft pick. Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, going to Washington. Drake May, going to New England. Michael Penix Jr., drafted to the Atlanta Falcons. Definitely... shocker. I saw on my Facebook page a shocker to the Atlanta Falcons fan base. I mean, my thoughts on Penix going to the Falcons. You need a backup. Let's get that. Kirk Cousins, I talked about him when he got his deal, his injury history. You need a backup. But Penix Jr. also have a injury history as well. So that kind of, you know, canceled each other out. I was like, well, you got one quarterback, the starter, who's injury prone and his backup kind of injury prone. And you also gave the starter a lot of damn money. You know, that's a lot of money you gave Kirk Cousins. Not to mention, Kirk Cousins is saying his team didn't know about the pick. Not to say that they had to let Kirk Cousins know, but it kind of shows, you know, how much they invested in you. They can't even tell you, yeah, we're giving you this money, but we're also drafting a quarterback in the first round if he's available. So, I mean, I understand the Falcons. I mean, at the same time, the Falcons fans are saying, we get it, but let's make the overall team better first before we – because you can get another quarterback in the draft. You know what I'm saying? I get it. Michael Penix, he was at the national championship game. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, first round, that's who you're going to take? Well, you can make, like they said, you can make the entire team better. I'm never mad at offensive lineman or defensive line. I'm never mad at that. Anytime you get to protect the quarterback or put pressure on the other team quarterback, I'm never mad at that pick. But you could have got a quarterback down the line, but maybe they felt that Michael Penix Jr. was like, if he's on board, we got to get him. So it's pretty much a we'll see how it play out for the Falcons type of situation. You already kind of, you know, looking at Kirk Cousins like, okay, what he going to do? He is coming off a major injury. So I get it, Falcons fans, you know, scratching their head. I get it. Trust me, I understand. J.J. McCarthy from Michigan drafted to Minnesota. Bo Nix drafted to Denver. Wide receiver Malik Nabers, he's going to New York Giants. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. He's going to the Las Vegas Raiders as well. So, yeah, NFL draft, that happened. Now, to wrap up this episode, new music, Party Next Door, P4, the fourth installment of his Party Next Door series. 14 records, no features. My initial thought, I definitely got to experience this album to really grasp it. And what I mean by that, my couple listens over the weekend, I had just had it in the background while watching the playoffs, and it just didn't line up well. Like, it's still Party Next Door. I still gauged it. Like, the pen is always on point, but I just want him to experience more with his production. That's where I'm at now with Party Next Door. His first album since 2020, and it just, he's playing it safe. He's like, I know what my fan base expect from me, and I'm going to give him just that. But it's now is at the time where I'm like, bro, this sounds like it could have been on the last album 4 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Only like a couple upbeat songs. And it's not nothing you can just press play, oh, there's going to be some good R&B. Not even on the wake up. It's like some real deal. Like, you got to experience it from the album cover. Just look at the album cover. That's how you need to experience this album. I mean, I understand now why he got the album cover like that. And the knock on him was always, okay, we know his pen on point, but does he give his hits away? And if he had songs you hear on his albums like, damn, I could hear such and such on this, and they would have made this junk go. So it's like he at this point now where I'm like, he's playing it safe. I'm anticipating a tour announcement, but it's at the point now. My first listens of this album is at the point now where it's like, if he announced a tour, I'm taking consideration, like, okay, he got to do some classics. But do I want to hear this album live? That's why I'm mad with it. He got some records on here I like. But it's like, it's nothing that moves the needle. It's like, okay, we got another Party Next Door album. I think he done fell in that box now where it's like, okay, you gave us another one after 4 years, cool. But like I said, it's not even a situation like I was talking about Bryson Tiller where there's so much going on in hip-hop that you're not paying attention. People pay attention to Party. But it just, you got to experience it. Like, it's definitely like nighttime vibes. Like, it's one of them, like, you got to wait for that certain moment. Compared to P1, where it grew to be, I could just listen to shit anytime. P2, I can listen to it anytime. Colors 2, Colors 1, you can just listen to it anytime. This one, it felt like, okay, he got a mission with this. Dark. Just the old aesthetic of Party Next Door. Plus the album cover. I get it, but it doesn't move the needle enough for me. Like, it's songs I like, but give me more records like Cheers. More of the upbeat. You know what I'm saying? Like, the For Certain record. Give me more up-tempo records, Party. That's what I need now. I get it, but only certain times we on that vibe now. Like, I just want to be like, okay, let me put this on and let it play. I don't want to wait till the wee hours of the night to have to listen to this. That's my thing. But favorite record, like I said, I do got a handful. Lose My Mind, Cheers, an early favorite, No Chill, Her Old Friends, For Certain, and Sorry But I'm Outside. Those are my early go-tos on the P4 album. But we'll see how it goes. You know, we got the summertime, fall, winter. We'll see how it lives. And like I said, I am looking forward to a tour announcement. It just, I got to see how it's presented. You know what I'm saying? I got to see how it's presented because it's like, you want to take something with you if you go to see a Party Next Door concert for this album. You want to take something with you. That's the best I can give you. So this episode 247, Stash House Podcast, means you guys go out, have a great week, great school week, great work week. Please stay safe, be mindful of your surroundings, drink plenty of water. Keep me in your prayers. I'll do the same for y'all. Salute.